There is this company called Publishers Clearing House. Its claim to fame is the fact that they hold sweepstakes for millions of dollars every year. They choose a winner from a random drawing and then televise the surprised person with an oversized check. Perhaps you've seen these ads. But put yourself into the shoes of a winner and imagine what you would do. Of course, you might be skeptical with that nothing is free instinct. But in seconds, you begin to think about what you could do with all that money. Go on vacation? Buy that 80-inch flat screen television? Pay off some bills? Or maybe purchase a new home? And then you'd have no trouble saying, "Let it be done to me." Just like what happened to Mary, right? Now, I raise this story to illustrate the contrast between accepting a cash prize and Mary's fiat to the Holy Spirit. Yes, they are different. It's true, though. Gabriel does say that God has found favor with her. She will conceive, and he will give her son the throne of David, his father. So isn't that kind of like winning the lottery? Somebody says, "Your son is going to be the son of God." Not really. We know what we can do with $1 million and how that will affect our lives. Of course, we can still make poor financial decisions, such as spending it all at once, instead of investing it in our family's future. But in essence, we think that we can control our own destiny with the financial instruments given to us. This is absolutely not true for Mary. She is given a scant few moments to decide what to do, knowing that her life will be changed forever. Forever from the normal to the fantastic, forever from within her control to in the hands of God and his will, whatever that will might be. She trusted God and his divine mercy and providence. She could do this because she was free from all marks of original sin, as the church has understood from the beginning in the Immaculate Conception. Now we, on the other hand, have no such grace, and as such, we will always try and control the situation, sometimes to our despair. Now, this brings me to my own vocation. Some of you know that I was in the high-tech industry. I had my own company. Now, while my business was a great success and it made lots of money, I had, in fact, a yearning in my heart for something else, which is the reason why I decided to enter religious life and to study for the priesthood. So a year before I entered the Dominican Order, I sold my company and tried to lead an ascetical, simple life, which I thought actually worked out pretty well. I stopped buying things. I stored my car and took only public transportation. And I started divesting of all of my possessions. So in every sense, I thought that I was preparing myself for religious life and a life of helping other people realize the faith in their own lives. Now, in retrospect, I don't think I could have been more arrogant. And that's because I wanted religious life on my terms, much in the same way that I had lived my life all the way up to that point. But in a sense, it was like I was standing at the front door waiting for a man to give me a check stating that I had won the Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes. I was looking for ways to control my life. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't actually work that way. And it works differently for every friar that enters the Dominican order. In retrospect, I think I had a more difficult time in religious life than most in formation, because I had already assured myself of how I would be formed. I had read histories of the order, and I had been privy to the governance of the order when I actually lived in Rome, and I thought that I had the constitution to endure whatever the order had to offer. Now, there are just a few problems with this perspective, and a few of you might have already figured it out. Where is the humility? Where is the faith? Where is the charity? This is what happens when you try and rationalize pride. The point I want to make is that even though I had tons of working experience and learned all sorts of useful things, like work ethic, advancement, development, management, administration, technology, I needed formation more than ever. And that's because I needed to allow myself to be formed by God to do His will, not my will, which is why the years of formation were absolutely necessary. Of course, I would argue that I didn't necessarily need all that philosophy and all that theology, but then I'm appealing to my lazy streak. Other things I had to receive by the workings of the Holy Spirit, sometimes through the wisdom of my superiors. Let me give you an example. Our province requires that each of us students take a summer of hospital or hospice ministry. Now, I have been in boardrooms. I've given marketing presentations to thousands of people. And I have taught hundreds of law enforcement people on the finer details of hacking and computer forensics. But I can tell you that I had never, ever been in front of a man who lay in a hospital bed, dying, intubated, anxious, with his older brother standing next to him, nervous. No amount of classwork, coursework, or lab work could have prepared me for this. Now, this was my first patient, and I stood there terrified about what to do, speechless, with two sets of eyes looking at me for my words of wisdom. And that's when my hand brushed my rosary. So I asked if I could say the rosary for the patient, and the brother nodded in assent, and I slowly began the joyful mysteries. Now, don't get me wrong, I love saying the rosary, and sometimes I can get into that zone, and you know what I'm talking about, but often I get distracted thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch? And this time it kind of started off that way, dry and somewhat robotic. The patient's brother joined in, but it seemed ever so mechanical, like we were just saying it to fill the empty silence. But when I got to the mystery of the nativity, for no explicable reason, I glanced at the eyes of the patient, and a message was exchanged. It was not a message that I can properly articulate, but it was an important message just the same. And it was at that moment that I began to cry. The words got caught in my throat, and I had to actually pause a couple of times. Then the patient relaxed. I could see it in his body language. After I finished, I turned to the brother who was standing there dumbfounded. He looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, "When I am dying, can you come and visit me?" It was there that I had learned about compassion, up close and personal, something that I had never learned in all my years of engineering and business work. Later, when I had visited my home in Seattle, I was speaking about this very incident to my old business partner. He looked at me and said to me point blank, "You've changed. The person I worked with would never have done that, not in a million years." And it's true. Were it not for the Dominican Order and its discernment for me, I wouldn't have done that. And while Mary made her fiat, her acceptance of God's will unconditional, she had a special grace. We, on the other hand, must have a more earthly set of tools to help us. The point here is that formation does require time, and it does require resources. Certainly, it's on our part to continually accept God's will, but sometimes that will comes through our superiors. And our superiors must provide for us at a material level. They have to provide for our theological training. They have to give us the opportunities to come into our own, to grow into faith, hope, and charity. They have to feed us, and they have to clothe us. Of course, our superiors take the same vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience that we do. So they need to look to you, our collaborators in faith and prayer, for help. If I did not receive this help, I would not have found my blind spots, and perhaps I would not find myself ready to be ordained. And thankfully, through your prayers and your financial support, as Father Jerome has repeated for the last couple of months, I will be ordained to the priesthood in less than 2 weeks here in Benicia. And I really owe it to you. Now, let me start with a more accounting side. Believe it or not, it costs about $50,000 per year per student to educate and form them in the faith to be priests. Now, there are 27 young men that are ready to do this, that are doing this. So you can do the math. 27 men times $50,000 times 8 years of formation. That's a lot of money. And we do our work here in Benicia, but we also do it all up and down the West Coast in many parishes and in many universities at the Newman Centers. And you know how important it is to have priests in your lives, because it is the priests that do and provide you with the sacraments. If there were no priests, there would be no sacraments. So, you will find in your pew two things at the ends, on both sides. A brochure that's talking about the appeal itself, and an envelope that you can fill out and put a donation if you so choose. So I ask you to give generously to this important campaign, because, believe it or not, as a religious order, we get no support financially from the bishop or the diocese. St. Catherine, St. Basil's, St. Vincent are all diocesan parishes, and they have priests that are provided for by the bishop. As Dominicans, all of our training has to be provided by us. So we can't do it ourselves. We have to turn to you to help us out. So if you could donate to this very important cause, we would be ever so grateful. Now, there will be a second collection after communion, and you can fill these out and drop them in at that time. Now, you've done this for me. I've asked that you do this for the rest of the student brothers who are in formation, who will provide you with the sacraments, your family, your neighbors, and for future generations.